Joshua, son of Nun. That doesn't mean he didn't have any sons, okay? He was just a son of Nun. Moses' aid. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as promised by Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Isn't that great? God is with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That sounds familiar. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Father, as we now get into the Word, let your Word get into us. Do a work in us that can't be done any other way but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask your blessing, O God, upon the hearers that are here this day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And we're believing, O God, that you're going to bring something great among us, even this hour. Have your way with the children in Children's Church, those in nursery, be with them. Be with those that are vacationing and traveling. Be with them on the road, I pray. And this coming week on Mega Sports Camp, we're going to pray at the end, Lord, but we want your blessing upon this as these children come and they hear the word of God and their hearts, oh God, are rearranged and something happens in their life that can't happen, Father, in a sense, any other way. Bless our time here, we pray now in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Kind of hard when you try to pack everything in into the service and everything that we have to do. So I am not going to get through my 7 points today, and I already knew I wasn't going to get through that. But in your bulletins, you have notes that you can take and you can follow along, and this will give you some insight and wisdom in what I'm speaking on today. But church, today I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs courage more now than ever before in its history. This past week, I've been praying, and God's just been dropping on my heart. They need courage. They need courage. They need to hear about courage. And God dropped in my heart 7 characteristics of Joshua and the courage that he had, the courage, the spirit of courage that Joshua had, and what he was able to accomplish because of that spirit of courage. We need to have a courageous spirit today in these times that we're living in. It's not easy standing up for Jesus. It's not easy to live your life in such a way that others will see the testimony of God's love that is working in you and working through you. But I want to encourage you today. Courage is just not something that you have. It's an attitude you become. And that attitude is what we're looking at as well. With courage comes an attitude. And with that attitude, let it be a proper one and not a negative one. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We are going to see that this courageous spirit that Joshua had made it possible for him to cross the Jordan River. It made it possible for him to conquer Jericho's strongholds. It made it possible for him to climb the intimidating mountains that were before him. And I believe also if we will take on the spirit of courage that God is asking us to have this day, at this time in history, we too can cross the Jordan rivers of our lives, that we can conquer Jericho's strongholds, that we can climb those intimidating mountains that are before us. And we all have Jordan rivers. We all have Jericho walls. We all have intimidating mountains before us. But without God's help, we cannot be more than a conqueror through Christ who has made us that way. So I want to encourage you today as we look at this. Allow God today to pour faith and assurance in your heart. Allow him to do something in you that couldn't be done any other way. The question always comes across, how do I get Joshua's spirit? How do I become courageous in spirit? And those are good questions. And all I can point is to the scriptures and point to you the life where this became very evident. We all are going to face things in our lives. We're all going to face things that are going to come our way. But no matter what, it's how we meet them and how we face them. They're not greater than the God in whom we serve. And if God is in us, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. So these are promises that we can stand on, and these are promises that we can hold to. That's how we're going to have a courageous spirit. Now, the first courageous spirit that Joshua had and the characteristic he had is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Book of Exodus, chapter 17. If you want to open your Bibles there, you can. If not, it's behind me on the board. And it reads, the first characteristic is found in Exodus 17. Verse 8 through 13, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight against the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses has ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Why is this story so important, and why does it talk about Joshua's courageous spirit? There is so much we can pull out of this context of this scripture about Moses being the leadership and about him being the example that others would see him standing there and holding up his staff. And as he held up his staff, that people would know that he was there, that they weren't fighting the battles alone. I mean, there's so many examples that I can pull out of this scripture, one after another, of Aaron Ur that came to Moses' aid to help him in the deliberation of what he had to do as a leader so the children of Israel can go forward. But I want to talk to you about Joshua and the spirit of courage, because this is what the story is more about. That sometimes that people that are either in leadership or people that are not in leadership, they just want to know that somebody is there standing behind them, that someone is standing there saying that we're pressing and wanting you to go on. I mean, we are encompassed about with such great clouds of witness, according to Hebrews chapter 12. We're surrounded by a great clouds of witness cheering us on. They're cheering us on. They're the ones that are sitting in the stadiums of our lives. And they're cheering us on, saying, you go for it, you go for it, you go, girl. I don't know if you can say you go, man, but you go, girl, right? Because you always hear that saying. I don't hear it say you go, man. But they're cheering you on. That's what that great cloud of witness does. And this is what Moses and Aaron and Hur did so Joshua can fight the battle. Now, I want you to see something here, if you could. Joshua comes into focus for the very first time in scripture. He was never mentioned up until this time. I know if you watch the book or if you watch the movie, Ten Commandments, you'll see what Joshua did, right? Joshua came down from the scaffold. He stopped the Egyptians from pulling the stone where Jochebed was caught by her apron. How many remember that in the story of the Ten Commandments? Yeah, that was Joshua and how he came to the aid of Moses' mother. Now, I know that was the Ten Commandments. That's not found in the Bible. But this is the first time that Joshua is seen in Scripture, here fighting a battle on behalf of the Israelites to conquer the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites were Esau's grandson. Some of you might know the story of Jacob and Esau and how Abraham, or how Jacob had two twin brothers. One was Esau. Yeah, had two sons, twins. One was Esau, one was Jacob, and how Esau was very upset at Jacob because Jacob stole his birthright, stole his blessing of being the second child, how he stole it. And Esau was upset. He was angry at Jacob. Jacob knew that, and Jacob had to run, and he ran to the land where Laban was to find his next wife, or find his wife, which then he ended up finding a next wife, right? He ended up marrying two women there. But that's another story in itself. But the point that I want to try to make here is this. Jacob ran because Esau was what? Angry. He was angry. And Jacob knew that if he stayed there, his brother was going to get him and possibly even kill him. Matter of fact, Jacob's mother, which was Rachel, says, Jacob, run. Your brother's going to kill you. He is angry. And that's what Jacob did. He ran. So that anger was there. What happens when we are angry as people? Do you think we don't pass that on to our children if we don't get those things resolved? Remember what I told you, courage is an attitude. Anger is an attitude as well. If it's not, your anger, if it's not resolved, it becomes an attitude, and that attitude gets passed on. It may get passed on through nature, or it could get passed on through nurture. Hopefully it doesn't get passed on through nature or through nurture. You pass good things on. You don't pass bad things on. So here, this is who these Amalekites were. They were Esau's grandson. They were ruthless. They were the enemies of Israel. Joshua followed Moses' instruction. He went to war. Moses said he would intercede and pray for victory. Now, it's one thing when someone comes up to you and say, we're praying for you, and we're praying that you'll be successful, that you'll have victory. But sometimes, you know, those words are easily said than done. I mean, has anybody ever told you lately, we're praying for you, but in your heart you say, I know they're not praying for me. They're just saying that. Hopefully you don't feel that way, but sometimes it comes across that way. Let's face it, it does. And that should not be, church. We are a praying church. We pray for everyone. We pray for each other because we want prayer in return. And when Moses says to Joshua, I'm going to be praying for you, and that's what he was going to do. And Moses went a step further. Moses says, Joshua, I'm just not going to pray for you in my private quarters. I'm going to stand on top of that mountain as you fight your battle, and you're going to see me holding my staff. And I'm not saying this is Moses' staff, but this is one of my walking sticks. I'm going to be holding my staff above my head to let you know victory is yours. I mean, what symbolism is there, right? When somebody's holding something like this, yeah, let's do it, right? We can do this. That's encouragement. And that's what Moses did. He got on top of that mountain. He holded up his staff. Joshua went to battle. And in the midst of the battle, you know what happens in the midst of the battle. You get weary. You get tired. Sometimes you just, it's not that that you want to give up, but you just get tired in the battle. You ever get tired in the battle? Does that ever happen to you? Well, that's what happened here. And every once in a while, Joshua looked behind. And Joshua would see Moses there. I don't know if Moses was smiling. I don't know. I don't know if Moses was sticking his tongue out at the Amalekites. Good for you. You know, I really don't know. But all I know was he's holding his staff. And every time Joshua turned around, the staff was up and the Israelites advanced. But Moses gets tired as a leader sometimes. He gets tired. He's frail. He's older. And when he put down his staff, they looked behind. They didn't see the encouragement that they got. And because they didn't see the encouragement, they started losing. There's just something about when you know somebody's standing behind you, they're encouraging you to go on. Aaron and Ur said, Moses, we got to help you. Let me get up. Brian, come on up here. If you can come up here. One of my board members. Let's get up here. Denny, why don't you come on up and help me here? I'm picking on board member and picking on a leader. That's all I'm doing. So here's Moses in battle. He lowers it. So what does Aaron and Hur come? They come and they help Moses. They don't hold up the staff. They hold up his hands. Yeah, right? Hold up the hands, right? It's not the fact that you see that I've got body odor and I've sweating under my armpit that he wanted to show Joshua, okay? But basically what they were doing was they were saying to Moses, Moses, we're going to help you. It's not that we're going to hold the staff. That's your responsibility. But we're going to hold your hands because we understand the labor that comes with that. And as they were holding up the hands, they were able to fight the battle. And so, church, I want to say to you today that you got a board and you got leaders that are just not just standing behind me, they're standing alongside of me. I'm going to ask the leaders in the church to stand up at this time and the board to stand up as well. They're standing behind you. They're there for you. And they care about you. And they're doing that. When they said they're praying for you, they're praying for you. Barbara, when you went through the death of your son this past week, we were praying for you. We were there for you. You can look to us and you can say, I know they got my back. I know they're there for me. I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. I mean, even Annette, when you went down to the city, Annette, and you went to Presbyterian Hospital and the doctor was going to put you in a hospital that day, he even told you to bring your suitcase. But yet when he did everything, after we prayed, God intervened and the doctor says, it's not that serious yet. So we're believing for a complete healing, Annette, aren't we? We're standing behind you. You know, Dave Wilde's uncle passed away this past week. He was supposed to leave tomorrow for Guatemala. But because of the death of his uncle, he can't go. He has to stay around. So he's missing out on a missions trip that he has desired and prayed for. But yet I let David know, Dave, we're behind you. We're with you, Dave. Though you couldn't go, but yet family's more important. Church, this is what we're about. And this is the spirit of encouragement, hopefully, you get from us. I'm going to put my hands out. Sorry. You good? You guys are good? Hopefully, yeah, you're getting tired too. Thank you, guys. They didn't know I was going to do that. But church, I want you to see this, because I want you to know we're not just standing in the back. You know, though I may be in the front, there's many people standing behind me. You got leaders, you got the board, you got your church family, you got your friends that you sit next to in the pew. Sometimes I wonder why people sit where they sit, and I learned because they like who they sit next to. You better also sit next to someone you like than sit next to someone you don't like. Well, maybe you should do what Jesus says. Sit next to your enemy. So next week, if you're all in your own different places, I might know why. No, I'm joking. But I hope you get what I'm saying. I hope you're picking up on the spirit of courage here today. No, I mean, Doreen's mom is going through things. And who knows, she might be on the last part of her life, right, Lori, right, Carol? Carlene, where is Carlene? She's in the back. Four sisters, their mother is not doing well. Estella, who knows when she's going to pass from this life into eternal life. But guess where they are? They're in church. The loving God. They want to think nothing less of that. There's just something about that spirit of courage that comes upon you when you're going through something. And when you call and you ask the prayer chain to pray for you, or you're asking somebody to pray for you, that's what we do. That's that spirit of encouragement. And hopefully what we do encourages you to keep on pressing on and keep on going. I can't be there always. They can't be there always. But I know there's one who can be. And that's Jesus Christ. He's ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's there in your distress and in your circumstances. He's there when there's no one else. Church, I can look across this audience and I can start picking each of you where God has done something in your life and the church has helped you, or we helped you, and we prayed for you through it all. That's in my heart. I care. I take it to matter. And I know the leadership of this church as well. So I say these things. There are two things you need to learn here that Joshua learned. The first thing is this. Our battles that we fight here are in the physical. They're always going to be fought in the valley. Sometimes the valley is dark. Sometimes the valley is a shadow of death. Sometimes the valley is when you're alone. But most growth takes place in the valley. Most growth don't take place on a mountaintop. Very little trees on the mountain. Where a lot of vegetation and growth comes is in the valley. Physically, that's where you're going to grow. Spiritually, you need to understand that your physical or the natural is here on the earth, but there's a battle that is being fought in heaven, in the heavenlies. Don't think there's not a battle today being fought in the spiritual realm for the core and the heart of this nation. This nation is in a spiritual battle today. And I'm not here to talk about the politics. I'm here to talk about the spiritual powers that are at work in our country today and in the world today. They're powerful. They're greater than we will ever know. They're more prevalent than we would ever understand. Because that's a spiritual realm. We don't see in it. But according to Ephesians chapter 5, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the spiritual powers that are in dark places, high powers in the heavenly places. We fight against this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God are pulling down strongholds, casting down false imaginations, and anything that rises itself against the knowledge of God. When I talk to an atheist or I talk to someone who is broken because they've been disappointed by the gospel, and they start arguing with me and they start ridiculing, right away I just say, I break that spirit down in the name of Jesus. I pray that way because I know they're that way because they have conditioned themselves to be that way. God can do more on our behalf in the spiritual realm than we could ever do in the natural realm. And when Moses' hands were up, Joshua prevailed. When Moses' hands were down, Joshua lost. So Joshua learned a very important lesson, very beginning of his leadership role or his role in the nation of Israel. He learned to have a courageous spirit. You got to have a place of prayer. It was not that Joshua had a place of prayer. It was the fact that Moses and the leadership were in a place of prayer. And so if there's a lesson that you need to learn today, you want to have a spirit of courageousness this day, you better have a prayer, a place of prayer, a place where you can pray, a place that you can go and get along with God. Evil powers are directed by Satan, and Satan's directions are actual forces that are at work in this world today. Again, we may not see it, so that's why we pray. Joshua wasn't contending against flesh and blood. He was contending against a spirit of the Amalekites that came from their grandfather, Esau, because Esau had a wounded spirit because his brother took away his birthright and his blessing. So a lot of times in life, we look at things and we say, well, I deserve that. I deserve that. They shouldn't have gotten that. I should have gotten it. Well, you know, in all reality, God knows, God sees. God is the one who blesses you. God is the one that opens doors for you. Joshua wasn't contending with flesh and blood. He knew that. It was a spiritual war taking place. He discovered the power of prayer in the life that marches forward in God. So that's the first characteristic of a courageous spirit. It's a man or woman who knows that there is victory in prayer over the power of the devil. That's the only place that you're going to overcome the devil. That's the only place that you're going to be victorious. It's in prayer. If you can't do it in prayer, it ain't going to be done any other way. I remember Watchman Nee said in his book about prayer, if you have any long-standing problems, try kneeling. Try kneeling once in a while. Try praying. Any long-standing problems, try kneeling. Prayer is very important. You know that there are unseen conflicts behind the scenes. There are things that need to be done. You know it'll get done. But you, in the midst of the intensity of what's going on, sometimes we doubt it. I'm sure that Elke, as she went through what she went through, removing of the thyroid, prayed many a time for years, right, that God would heal. But yet, in God's infinite wisdom, he says, now it's time to take it out. You know, Denny dealing with cancer and everything that he's been through, and he could have said, my life, I lived my life, I had fun, I'm not even going to fight. But yet, he fought. But people pray. People pray. You get me? You get me? It's important that we understand that. And as we understand that, a spirit of courageousness can come upon you, and it can be there. It may be a secret prayer, but that secret prayer aligns yourself with God who fights your battles for you. Those secret prayers that you pray in your closet and you shut the door behind you and you stop all distractions and everything else that is around you. When you shut that door, then you're able to go to God secretly in prayer, and God answers you secretly. I love it when God answers anonymously. I love it when God answers in such a way that you don't even expect it. It's just there. It's like, poof, it's there. God, he can call forth things and he can make things happen as though they were and they were not. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. That's what it says. God is able to call things into existence as though they were and they were not. So I don't know how God works, but I just know God loves me. He cares about me. If God knows I need something, it's going to be there. And when it's there, I'm always going to look at it as, oh, it's always there. You know, that's how God works. Why do we try to look for the mysterious and the phenomenal when God just gives us every day to wake up and the breath that we breathe and the life that we live and swing our feet out of bed and start life with God? Because that's what it really deals and comes down to. I want to encourage you today. I want you to have a courageous spirit. I really do. I want you to be courageous in your Christian life because it needs to be. Let me go on, and I can go on along here, but I don't. It's only 11:57, and I just got through one point. I'm going to leave it there. I said to the Lord, if it's close to 12 o'clock, I'm going to stop. So I'm going to stop there. Next week, we'll pick up on the second characteristic. Do me a favor. Don't go to the website and look at my notes.